Welcome back to the Come Follow Me read-along. This episode contains the selected chapters of the Old Testament scheduled for this week. Thanks for listening. Let's jump in. Second Kings chapter 2. Just before the Lord took Elijah up to heaven in a windstorm, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. Elijah told Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As certainly as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Some members of the prophetic guild in Bethel came out to Elisha and said, "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master from you?" He answered, "Yes, I know. Be quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he replied, "As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. Some members of the prophetic guild in Jericho approached Elisha and said, "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master from you?" He answered, "Yes, I know. Be quiet." Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he replied, "As certainly as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they traveled on together. The 50 members of the prophetic guild went and stood opposite them at a distance, while Elijah and Elisha stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, folded it up, and hit the water with it. The water divided, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha answered, "May I receive a double portion of the prophetic spirit that energizes you?" Elijah replied, "That's a difficult request. If you see me taken away from you, may it be so, but if you don't, it will not happen." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a fiery chariot pulled by fiery horses appeared. They went between Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah went up to heaven in a windstorm. While Elisha was watching, he was crying out, "My father, my father, the chariot and horsemen of Israel!" Then he could no longer see him. He grabbed his clothes and tore them in two. He picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen off him, and went back and stood on the shore of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen off Elijah, hit the water with it, and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he hit the water, it divided, and Elisha crossed over. When the members of the prophetic guild in Jericho, who were standing at a distance, saw him do this, they said, "The spirit that energized Elijah rests upon Elisha." They went to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. They said to him, "Look, there are 50 capable men with your servants. Let them go and look for your master, for the wind sent from the Lord may have carried him away and dropped him on one of the hills or in one of the valleys." But Elisha replied, "Don't send them out." But they were so insistent that he became embarrassed. So he said, "Send them out." They sent the 50 men out, and they looked for 3 days, but could not find Elijah. When they came back, Elisha was staying in Jericho. He said to them, "Didn't I tell you don't go?" The men of the city said to Elisha, "Look, the city has a good location, as our master can see, but the water is bad, and the land doesn't produce crops." Elisha said, "Get me a new jar and put some salt in it." So they got it. He went out to the spring and threw the salt in. Then he said, "This is what the Lord has said. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or fail to produce crops." The water has been pure to this very day, just as Elisha promised. He went up from there to Bethel. As he was traveling up the road, some young boys came out of the city and made fun of him, saying, "Go on up, Baldy! Go on up, Baldy!" When he turned around and saw them, he called God's judgment down on them. 2 female bears came out of the woods and ripped 42 of the boys to pieces. From there, he traveled to Mount Carmel and then back to Samaria. 2 Kings chapter 3. In the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign over Judah, Ahab's son Jehoram became king over Israel in Samaria. He ruled for 12 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not to the same degree as his father and mother. He did remove the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made, yet he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who encouraged Israel to sin. He did not turn from them. Now King Misha of Moab was a sheep breeder. He would send as a tribute to the king of Israel 100,000 male lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. When Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. At that time, King Jehoram left Samaria and assembled all Israel for war. He sent this message to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you fight with me against Moab?" Jehoshaphat replied, "I will join you in the campaign. My army and horses are at your disposal." He then asked, "Which invasion route are we going to take?" Jehoram answered, "By the road through the wilderness of Edom." So the kings of Israel, Judah, and Edom set out together. They wandered around on the road for 7 days, and finally ran out of water for the men and animals they had with them. The king of Israel said, "Oh no! Certainly the Lord has summoned these three kings so that he can hand them over to the king of Moab." Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we might seek the Lord's direction?" One of the servants of the king of Israel answered, "Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's servant." Jehoshaphat said, "Yes, he receives the Lord's messages." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to visit him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "Why are you here? Go to your father's prophets or your mother's prophets." The king of Israel replied to him, "No, the Lord is the one who summoned these three kings here so that he can hand them over to Moab." Elisha said, "As certainly as the Lord of heaven's armies lives, whom I serve, if I did not respect King Jehoshaphat of Judah, I would not pay attention to you or acknowledge you. But now, get me a musician." When the musician played, the Lord energized him, and he said, "This is what the Lord has said. Make many cisterns in this valley, for this is what the Lord has said. You will not feel any wind or see any rain, but this valley will be full of water, and you and your cattle and animals will drink. This is an easy task for the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. You will defeat every fortified city and every important city. You must chop down every productive tree, stop up all the springs, and cover all the cultivated land with stones." Sure enough, the next morning, at the time of the morning sacrifice, water came flowing down from Edom and filled the land. Now all Moab had heard that the kings were attacking, so everyone old enough to fight was mustered and placed at the border. When they got up early the next morning, the sun was shining on the water. To the Moabites, who were some distance away, the water looked red like blood. The Moabites said, "It's blood! The kings must have fought one another! The soldiers have struck one another down! Now, Moab, seize the plunder!" When they approached the Israelite camp, the Israelites rose up and struck down the Moabites, who then ran from them. The Israelites thoroughly defeated Moab. They tore down the cities, and each man threw a stone into every cultivated field until they were covered. They stopped up every spring and chopped down every productive tree. Only Kir Hareseth was left intact, but the soldiers armed with slings surrounded it and attacked it. When the king of Moab realized he was losing the battle, he and 700 swordsmen tried to break through and attack the king of Edom, but they failed. So he took his firstborn son, who was to succeed him as king, and offered him up as a burnt sacrifice on the wall. There was an outburst of divine anger against Israel, so they broke off the attack and returned to their homeland. Second Kings chapter 4. Now a wife of one of the prophets appealed to Elisha for help, saying, Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant was a loyal follower of the Lord. Now the creditor is coming to take away my two boys to be his servants.
Elisha said to her, What can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?
She answered, Your servant has nothing in the house except a small jar of olive oil.
He said, Go and ask all your neighbors for empty containers. Get as many as you can. Go and close the door behind you and your sons. Pour the olive oil into all the containers. Set aside each one when you have filled it. So she left him and closed the door behind her and her sons. As they were bringing the containers to her, she was pouring the olive oil. When the containers were full, she said to one of her sons, Bring me another container. But he answered her, There are no more. Then the olive oil stopped flowing. She went and told the prophet. He said, Go, sell the olive oil, repay your creditor, and then you and your sons can live off the rest of the profit. One day, Elisha traveled to Shunem, where a prominent woman lived. She insisted that he stop for a meal. So whenever he was passing through, he would stop in there for a meal. She said to her husband, Look, I'm sure that the man who regularly passes through here is a very special prophet. Let's make a small private upper room and furnish it with a bed, table, chair, and lamp. When he visits us, he can stay there. One day, Elisha came for a visit. He went into the upper room and rested. He told his servant Gehazi, Ask the Shunammite woman to come here. So he did so, and she came to him. Elisha said to Gehazi, Tell her, Look, you have treated us with such great respect. What can I do for you? Can I put in a good word for you with the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I am quite secure. So he asked Gehazi, What can I do for her? Gehazi replied, She has no son, and her husband is old. Elisha told him, Ask her to come here. So he did so, and she came and stood in the doorway. He said, About this time next year, you will be holding a son. She said, No, my master. O prophet, do not lie to your servant. The woman did conceive, and at the specified time the next year, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The boy grew, and one day he went out to see his father, who was with the harvest workers. He said to his father, My head, my head! His father told a servant, Carry him to his mother. So he picked him up and took him to his mother. He sat on her lap until noon and then died. She went up and laid him down on the prophet's bed. She shut the door behind her and left. She called to her husband, Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys so I can go see the prophet quickly and then return. He said, Why do you want to go see him today? It is not the new moon or the Sabbath.
She said, Everything's fine.
She saddled the donkey and told her servant,
Lead on. Do not stop unless I say so.
So she went to visit the prophet at Mount Carmel. When he saw her at a distance, he said to his servant Gehazi, Look, it's the Shunammite woman. Now run to meet her and ask her, Are you well? Are your husband and the boy well?
She told Gehazi, Everything's fine.
But when she reached the prophet on the mountain, she grabbed hold of his feet. Gehazi came near to push her away, but the prophet said, Leave her alone, for she is very upset. The Lord has kept the matter hidden from me. He didn't tell me about it.
She said, Did I ask my master for a son? Didn't I say, Don't mislead me?
Elisha told Gehazi, Tuck your robes into your belt. Take my staff and go. Don't stop to exchange greetings with anyone. Place my staff on the child's face.
The mother of the child said, As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.
So Elisha got up and followed her back. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them. He placed the staff on the child's face, but there was no sound or response. When he came back to Elisha, he told him, The child did not wake up. When Elisha arrived at the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in by himself and closed the door. Then he prayed to the Lord. He got up on the bed and spread his body out over the boy. He put his mouth on the boy's mouth, his eyes over the boy's eyes, and the palms of his hands against the boy's palms. As he bent down across him, the boy's skin grew warm. Elisha went back and walked around in the house. Then he got up on the bed again and bent down over him. The child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha called to Gehazi and said, "Get the Shunammite woman." So he did so, and she came to him. He said to her, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed down. Then she picked up her son and left. Now Elisha went back to Gilgal while there was a famine in the land. Some of the prophets were visiting him, and he told his servant, "Put a big pot on the fire and boil some stew for the prophets." Someone went out to the field to gather some herbs and found a wild vine. He picked some of its fruit, enough to fill up the fold of his robe. He came back, cut it up, and threw the slices into the stew pot, not knowing they were harmful. The stew was poured out for the men to eat. When they ate some of the stew, they cried out, "Death is in the pot! Oh, prophet!" They could not eat it. He said, "Get some flour." Then he threw it into the pot and said, "Now pour some out for the men so they may eat." There was no longer anything harmful in the pot. Now a man from Baal-Salisha brought some food for the prophet, 20 loaves of bread made from the first fruits of the barley harvest, as well as fresh ears of grain. Elisha said, "Set it before the people so they may eat." But his attendant said, "How can I feed 100 men with this?" He replied, "Set it before the people so they may eat, for this is what the Lord has said. They will eat and have some left over." So he set it before them. They ate and had some left over, just as in the Lord's message.
Second Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, the commander of the king of Syria's army, was esteemed and respected by his master, for through him the Lord had given Syria military victories. But this great warrior had a skin disease. Raiding parties went out from Syria and took captive from the land of Israel a young girl who became a servant to Naaman's wife. She told her mistress, "If only my master were in the presence of the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his skin disease." Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. The king of Syria said, "Go, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 suits of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel. It read, "This is a letter of introduction for my servant Naaman, whom I have sent to be cured of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill or restore life? Why does he ask me to cure a man of his skin disease? Certainly you must see that he is looking for an excuse to fight me." When Elisha the prophet heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent this message to the king, "Why do you tear your clothes? Send him to me, so he may know there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood in the doorway of Elisha's house. Elisha sent out a messenger who told him, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. Your skin will be restored and you will be healed." Naaman went away angry. He said, "Look, I thought for sure he would come out, stand there, invoke the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the area, and cure the skin disease. The rivers of Damascus, the Abana, the Parfar, are better than any of the waters of Israel. Could I not wash in them and be healed?" So he turned around and went away angry. His servants approached him and said, "Oh, master, if the prophet had told you to do some difficult task, you would have been willing to do it. It seems you should be happy that he simply said, 'Wash and you will be healed.'" So he went down
and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, as the prophet had instructed. His skin became as smooth as a young child's, and he was healed. He and his entire entourage returned to the prophet. Naaman came and stood before him. He said, "For sure, I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now please, accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha replied, "As certainly as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will take nothing from you." Naaman insisted that he take it, but he refused. Naaman said, "If not, then please give your servant a load of dirt, enough for a pair of mules to carry. For your servant will never again offer a burnt offering or sacrifice to a god other than the Lord. May the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to worship, and he leans on my arm and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." Elisha said to him, "Go in peace." When he had gone a short distance, Gehazi, the prophet Elisha's servant, thought, "Look, my master did not accept what this Syrian Naaman offered him. As certainly as the Lord lives, I will run after him and accept something from him." So Gehazi ran after Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he got down from his chariot to meet him and asked, "Is everything all right?" He answered, "Everything is fine. My master sent me with this message. Look, 2 servants of the prophet just arrived from the Ephraimite hill country. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 suits of clothes." Naaman said, "Please accept 2 talents of silver." He insisted and tied up 2 talents of silver in 2 bags, along with 2 suits of clothes. He gave them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them for Gehazi. When he arrived at the hill, he took them from the servants and put them in the house. Then he sent the men on their way. When he came and stood before his master, Elisha asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" He answered, "Your servant hasn't been anywhere." Elisha replied, "I was there in spirit when a man turned and got down from his chariot to meet you. This is not the proper time to accept silver, or to accept clothes, olive groves, vineyards, sheep, cattle, and male and female servants. Therefore, Naaman's skin disease will afflict you and your descendants forever." When Gehazi went out from his presence, his skin was as white as snow.
Second Kings chapter 6. Some of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too cramped for us. Let's go to the Jordan. Each of us will get a log from there, and we will build a meeting place for ourselves there." He said, "Go." One of them said, "Please, come along with your servants." He replied, "All right, I'll come." So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they started cutting down trees. As one of them was felling a tree, the axe head dropped into the water. He shouted, "Oh no, my master, it was borrowed!" The prophet asked, "Where did you drop it in?" When he showed him the spot, Elisha cut off a branch, threw it in at that spot, and made the axe head float. He said, "Lift it out." So he reached out his hand and grabbed it. Now the king of Syria was at war with Israel. He consulted his advisors, who said, "Invade at such and such a place." But the prophet sent this message to the king of Israel, "Make sure you don't pass through this place, because Syria is invading there." So the king of Israel sent a message to the place the prophet had pointed out, warning it to be on its guard. This happened on several occasions. This made the king of Syria upset. So he summoned his advisors and said to them, "One of us must be helping the king of Israel." One of his advisors said, "No, my master, O king, the prophet Elisha, who lives in Israel, keeps telling the king of Israel the things you say in your bedroom." The king ordered, "Go, find out where he is, so I can send some men to capture him." The king was told, "He is in Dothan." So he sent horses and chariots there, along with a good-sized army. They arrived during the night and surrounded the city. The prophet's attendant got up early in the morning. When he went outside,
There was an army surrounding the city, along with horses and chariots. He said to Elisha, "Oh no, my master, what will we do?" He replied, "Don't be afraid, for our side outnumbers them." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he can see." The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the hill was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the army approached him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." The Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha requested. Then Elisha said to them, "This is not the right road or city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you're looking for." He led them to Samaria. When they had entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open their eyes so they can see." The Lord opened their eyes, and they saw they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Should I strike them down, my master?" He replied, "Do not strike them down. You did not capture them with your sword or bow. So what gives you the right to strike them down? Give them some food and water, so they can eat and drink, and then go back to their master." So he threw a big banquet for them, and they ate and drank. Then he sent them back to their master. After that, no Syrian raiding parties again invaded the land of Israel. Later, King Ben-Hadad of Syria assembled his entire army and attacked and besieged Samaria. Samaria's food supply ran out. They laid siege to it so long that a donkey's head was selling for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of dove's droppings for 5 shekels of silver. While the king of Israel was passing by on the city wall, a woman shouted to him, "Help us, my master, O king!" He replied, "No, let the Lord help you. How can I help you? The threshing floor and wine press are empty." Then the king asked her, "What's your problem?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Hand over your son, we'll eat him today, and then eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. Then I said to her the next day, 'Hand over your son and we'll eat him.' But she hid her son." When the king heard what the woman said, he tore his clothes. As he was passing by on the wall, the people could see he was wearing sackcloth under his clothes. Then he said, "May God judge me severely. If Elisha, son of Shaphat, still has his head by the end of the day." Now Elisha was sitting in his house with the community leaders. The king sent a messenger on ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha said to the leaders, "Do you realize this assassin intends to cut off my head? Look, when the messenger arrives, shut the door and lean against it. His master will certainly be right behind him." He was still talking to them when the messenger approached and said, "Look, the Lord is responsible for this disaster. Why should I continue to wait for the Lord to help?"
Second Kings chapter 7. Elisha replied, "Listen to the Lord's message. This is what the Lord has said. About this time tomorrow, a seah of finely milled flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." An officer who was the king's right-hand man responded to the prophet, "Look, even if the Lord made it rain by opening holes in the sky, could this happen so soon?" Elisha said, "Look, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of the food." Now 4 men with a skin disease were sitting at the entrance of the city gate. They said to one another, "Why are we just sitting here waiting to die? If we go into the city, we'll die of starvation. And if we stay here, we'll die. So come on, let's defect to the Syrian camp. If they spare us, we'll live. If they kill us, well, we were going to die anyway." So they started toward the Syrian camp at dusk. When they reached the edge of the Syrian camp, there was no one there. The Lord had caused the Syrian camp to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a large army. Then they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has paid the kings of the Hittites and Egyptians to attack us." So they got up and fled at dusk, leaving behind their tents, horses, and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives.
When the men with the skin disease reached the edge of the camp, they entered a tent and had a meal. They also took some silver, gold, and clothes, and went and hid it all. Then they went back and entered another tent. They looted it and went and hid what they had taken. Then they said to one another, "It's not right what we're doing. This is a day to celebrate, but we haven't told anyone. If we wait until dawn, we'll be punished. So come on, let's go and inform the royal palace." So they went and called out to the gatekeepers of the city. They told them, "We entered the Syrian camp and there was no one there. We didn't even hear a man's voice, but the horses and donkeys are still tied up and the tents remain up." The gatekeepers relayed the news to the royal palace. The king got up in the night and said to his advisers, "I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know we are starving. So they left the camp and hid in the field, thinking, when they come out of the city, we will capture them alive and enter the city." One of his advisors replied, "Pick some men and have them take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Even if they are killed, their fate will be no different than that of all the Israelite people. We're all going to die. Let's send them out so we can know for sure what's going on." So they picked 2 horsemen, and the king sent them out to track the Syrian army. He ordered them, "Go and find out what's going on." So they tracked them as far as the Jordan. The road was filled with clothes and equipment that the Syrians had discarded in their haste. The scouts went back and told the king. Then the people went out and looted the Syrian camp. A seah of finely milled flour sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, just as in the Lord's message. Now the king had placed the officer, who was his right-hand man, at the city gate. When the people rushed out, they trampled him to death in the gate. This fulfilled the prophet's word, which he had spoken when the king tried to arrest him. The prophet had told the king, 2 seahs of barley will sell for a shekel, and a seah of finely milled flour for a shekel. This will happen about this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria." But the officer had replied to the prophet, "Look, even if the Lord made it rain by opening holes in the sky, could this happen so soon?" Elisha had said, "Look, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of the food." This is exactly what happened to him. The people trampled him to death in the city gate.